It is time to bring in Jim Lynch and cover your assets. Jim, of course, joins us on Tuesday mornings. Jim is an amazing guy, to just put it that way. He's got an independent voice. He deals with Wall Street, the economy, politics, sports, and more. And he brings a ton of experience to those subjects, and he joins us with his opinions as we banter back and forth in we play tennis with political stories and financial stories. Good morning, Mr. Lynch. How are you?
Good morning, and thank you for that kind introduction. How are you doing out there?
Well, you know,
getting ready?
Yeah, well, getting ready for the storm, getting ready for the holidays and everything. But at 68 years of age, I live through a lot in my life, and you've lived through more. But yesterday was a day where Americans got to see something that they never see. They talk about it a lot, they never see it. A lot of people like it, a lot of people don't like it, but Americans got a chance to see the Electoral College in action yesterday. All the states went and selected their slates, and all sent the information to Congress, and Congress will then meet, I think it's on the 6th of January, and go over it all. And basically, they confirmed what we've known for weeks and weeks and weeks, that Joe Biden is president-elect. Now, like I said, Jim, it's the first time I've actually witnessed the electoral process, and it was kind of fun to watch. It was kind of boring, but it was kind of exciting because everybody talks about the Electoral College, and they've never seen it in action.
I think your point is very well made, and I would like to see us do more of these shows that show how the American government works. We do have a channel devoted to it that watches Congress as it works its way in voting and so forth. Not a main channel, but a separate channel. I would encourage folks, particularly with younger children who you still could have a little say with, to start a program of showing them these types of things. Go and show them Congress in action. It won't take all day to watch it. It'll take maybe a half hour. And they'll get a sense of the humanness of the government, of the fact that there are actual individuals who speak and talk and vote and sometimes argue. As we go into this next four-year period, obviously one of our goals should be, as a country and as a people, to come together, not to agree with somebody's opinion, but rather not to disagree in an ugly way, rather in an accepting way, with the purpose of possibly learning something. I have to tell you, it's been an amazing 4 years to see what has occurred, and I don't really need to repeat what's occurred. It's over. Hopefully it's finished and we'll get beyond it in time. But it's come up many times in my evaluating things regarding our country, regarding politics. You know, we really have become undereducated as a country. Marshall's point about it was wonderful we saw this Electoral College. Well, that's really kind of the whole thing. You know, our young people really don't know their history, good, bad. And there's a fair amount of bad in our history if somebody has got the courage to show it. But what's very wonderful is that in a democracy, you can overcome the bad in time and make it right. And that's what this country has always been about. And the divisiveness now is hopefully just a rock in the road that we've got to get beyond and learn and be more appreciative of what we have in this country. The fact that our right to vote was jeopardized must have shocked individual citizens in the rest of the world who've been become so appreciative of the fact that at least we've been consistent in always having a vote and an election, and on we go. I mean, there are many billions of people in this world, and many of them don't have the privilege, the right that we do in terms of voting for people who are going to govern us. Rather, many countries, east, west, south, north, are driven by dictators, people who really act on their own, for their own, and use the people for their end. Now, we had a dose of that, obviously, in the last several years, but we'll get over that. But we have to, in the process, get over it and learn. And I don't have any remedy for anybody who voted for somebody. You voted, and it didn't work, and that's the end of it. And get on with it. We've had a number of things where Al Gore, with 500 votes, lost in Florida, conceded to George Bush, and basically said he was doing it because he wanted to represent his country, his democracy. We saw the same thing with Hillary Clinton. You can go back to George H.W. Bush, the dad, or to Dole, Senator Dole from Kansas City, from Kansas, rather. So we must really try and retread our tires a little bit here and include education in it and include the young people in it. Marshall has referenced many, many times how his family would always have dinner together, and they'd have that, and they'd talk, and they'd talk about what was going on in the world. This gives parents an opportunity to suggest to younger people to think this way or that way, not necessarily a narrow perspective. So thank God this is almost over, this whole process of vote counting and so forth. But we have a vaccine now. We have a new president. We have a new administration. We have an administration that's going to hit the ground running because Joe Biden, who has 47 years in Washington, he's worked with many of these people. He knows them intimately, be it the new Secretary of Defense if he gets voted in. I mean, this is so important for a government that is now trying to really, really deal with some major problems within our society, let alone the pandemic and the poor economic situation. So the vaccine, the vote, the two V's, and make sure that it inspires the H, the hope, because we need hope going forward.
You know what really gets me? And 2 days ago, I unfriended somebody on Facebook that I have known personally for 42 years. And I unfriended him in a very decent way, saying that it's obvious you are not the person I thought you were, and I am not the person that you thought I was. And so good luck for the rest of your life and go on. And what upsets me here is that for 8 years, in his first run, and now in the second run, and now this, the aftermath, Donald Trump has been assaulting the United States system of electing president. And now he does have, out of the 71 million people that voted for him, probably a good 50 million people, and people that I know as well, actually thinking that this election was illegitimate and that he should be president for four more years. And what upsets me is if they want to have that uninformed opinion, I guess that's up to them. But what upsets me most about that is that it's not based on fact. I mean, you have an election that has now gone before 30 different courts in I think it's 12 different states, state courts, state Supreme Courts, and even thrown up in front of the Supreme Court now twice, and they didn't even agree to look at it. You've had an attorney general who is and always has been a big supporter of Donald Trump state that there is no widespread cause of concern. You had the, of course, person overlooking the security saying it was the most secure election in our history. And yet you have people, and I was just reading something today that said, a post that said, our current president and should be legitimate president for the next 4 years. I just cannot see how anybody can sit here. Now, you can be upset when, you know, when Donald Trump was first elected president, lots of people were upset. Women held marches all over the world. People have been disparaging what they think Donald Trump has done wrong for 4 years. But not once have I ever seen people claim that Donald Trump was an illegitimate president. Not once people complained about the Electoral College. Yeah, they certainly did. They're not complaining now, though. People complained about the closeness of the election. People complained about a lot of things, but not once was the viability or the strength of our system of electing people ever attacked. Well, it has been under attack for so long now. 50 million American people don't believe what happened. They don't believe what happened. And on top of that, Jim, they do not have any proof to talk about of what happened. They just go on about what Donald Trump says. That is a disturbing factor that has to be looked at over the next couple of years by whoever is president, whoever runs for the House, whoever runs for the Senate. Because this isn't over. This is almost a social civil war right now. And if Donald Trump, after he's out of office, and this is just my simple opinion, keeps up this attack, we are well on the road to a real civil war again.
Well, the facts that you've just given are, I think to most people, very disconcerting. And quite sad. Where I come from is, I just, one, didn't realize that so many Americans were vulnerable to lies, so vulnerable to not be able to pick up a newspaper or talk to a friend and kind of dialogue on what is going wrong in this country. We over the years have lost respect that we genuinely earned since our inception as a democracy. But why is it that people in Europe and elsewhere were so upset with what we were doing in this country, and our own citizens were blind to it? And I hate to use the word, but it's the only word I can think of that kind of works. It's called cult. You know, cult is something based on a person and or idea. Come hell or high water, the person or the idea is right. Well, that's what we've had here. You know, it's not so much that some of these gangs of so-called right-wing people, I can't even honor them with that, but are out in the street fighting and screaming and so forth. But the other thing is, where is the rest of the populace? I don't mean going in counter rebelling, but speaking out. And this really goes to our Congress, well, really our Senate. The Senate has been run by the Republicans now for some time. And why they haven't spoken out as this is going on is bedeviling. And I guess we can come up with all kinds of thoughts. They think the cult leader is very powerful and commands over his people who vote for him, and they're afraid to go against him. But that's a sacrifice of a human being's principle. It's a sacrifice of consciousness. How can you decide to go and serve your country in the Congress and then abandon your obligation to preserve the democracy and preserve the well-being of people? The well-being of people. I've watched the governor of Michigan too many times now, a very solid, intelligent woman person who basically has been threatened with death, kidnapping. Now, she stands tall versus many of these other politicians in terms of standing up to it and not getting overly upset. But there's a root here that we have to, there's a root in the plant, and we've got to get rid of that root because it's going to destroy the plant. And I don't have an answer to that. My only answer is education. My only answer is appreciation. If we don't appreciate what we have in this country, we're going to lose it. And it's history is replete with situations. I take you back to Nazi Germany. How did that happen? A clever guy like Hitler, or a maniac like Hitler, got the idea he could rally the masses, the disinfected, those who were racially prejudiced, and so forth. Well, that's the playbook that was used to get Donald Trump in the presidency. We must eradicate that. Now, the German government suffered, this country suffered dramatically after Hitler, and they took incredible strides to not let this kind of thing happen again, including in the military area. They've got certain restrictions. I'm not conversing with them at this moment, but they've always been very, very sensitive that people don't get out of line in the political area. I think of Merkel, who runs the German government. She lives in an apartment area. She drives her own car. She doesn't get paid for it. That's how sensitive they are to let's not be the big presidential celebrity. So maybe we can start there. Maybe we can cut back on the money we pay these people. One thing we can do, Citizens United, we must get rid of that. Marshall Gill and I spoke about this several years ago when it happened. And when it happened, we were very concerned that this would really sully our political setup. And it did. It did, because many people were doing things they should have done voting-wise, because they were getting all kinds of money from the PACs, from very rich people, from the dark pool money. Maybe we start there, but we've got to start somewhere.
Well, you know, it's only a short time till January 20th. It'll be interesting to see if the protocols of a president greeting another president, the newly elected president, is continued to be broken. It'll be very interesting to see if the president of the United States shows up at the swearing-in ceremony for Joe Biden. All those things will be very interesting to look at, because once again, just because Joe Biden has been named president-elect and he will be the next president, doesn't mean that you've got 50 million people out there that you have to convince of somehow to get over the fact that their guy lost, be upset, don't like anything that Joe Biden does. That's absolutely fine. Don't like the way he governs, but you have to stop. We have to stop somewhere assaulting a constitution, which, sometimes it's not pretty, but has protected our democracy hundreds of years now. And there's no reason to throw away the baby with the bathwater. If your candidate lost, be upset. I was upset. I was upset for 4 years. I complained whenever I thought the president did something wrong. But I never once, you can look back, people can look back on me, but never once doubted the fact that he was president of the United States. I just didn't like the fact that he was president of the United States, and I joined what I call my own resistance because I didn't like that. But I never questioned his legal authority of being president of the United States. He was elected, and this is the thing that Americans have to learn to do once again. Don't believe everything you hear. And when you see Republican judges and a 6-3 conservative court say that, guess what, this election was A-okay, take it at fact value that it was okay. You didn't like the outcome, so again, work harder next time in 4 years when a president's going to run. Well, we have about a minute left, Jim. What would you like to have to contribute there?
I would like to just say I hope, wouldn't it be a miracle if somehow Donald Trump realized that if he does want some kind of decent legacy, he might try in whatever way he can try, not to admonish what he's done, but to say, I am fully in support of the new president, and I will do my best to help. That's a hope, folks, okay? But I would say this, though, in terms of educating yourself and your children, maybe you need to spin the dial and go to different places. I watch BBC, and I watch Bloomberg. I have them on, particularly Bloomberg. Bloomberg, not just for the finance. They have world happenings, and it's delivered in a very straightforward, non-political way. The BBC, you see the genuineness of the of what they're saying. They're not political operatives. They're giving you the facts. So whatever you do, we have to try harder, and we will do better because we always have.
Jim,
God bless America. Have a great week.
All right, we'll speak to you next week, Jim.
Right. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio. Remember, the opinions you hear are those of myself and Jim and do not represent necessarily the opinions of the volunteers or the employees of Tri-State Public Communications, Robinhood Radio, The Bargain Barn, or CATV6.